What a special time of worship. I love it because it's not something that we can produce. Even if we try, we will fail. Can only open our hearts to what we are, what's already been done, and receive from that place this morning. Thank you, Jesus. This morning it's also a time where we as a church family, we say goodbye to all. Yeah, not really saying goodbye. Can I move this mic? It's giving feedback. Nee, is geen probleem. Ek is 'n magtige mens, soos my vrou sal sê. Okay. Cool. Yeah, so we're not saying goodbye, but for those who read the letter that you received via your life groups, let me see if the life groups leaders actually did send it out. Look at them looking at me like, what's happening? Anyways, so the letter basically just says that we are four currently on the eldership. As you've seen on the board, myself, Talent, Theo, and Sam. And Talent has come back from his paternity leave, and he's really given us he shared his heart with us at our first elders meeting, and it was quite a shock for us, but Talent has decided that he would like to step down. So an elder in Shofar, an elder commits for 2 years, and after that 2 years, you can decide to step down, or we can re-look. Yeah, is that the right word, Walaf? Re-look at the commitment, because the eldership is a commitment. The elder is a commitment for 2 years. A deacon is a commitment of 1 year, where you would serve in a different capacity. So we have deacons in the church, but we don't call them deacons. So our ministry leaders. Because what is a deacon? When you read the book of Acts, you see that during that time, there were deacons appointed, and deacons were put over certain ministries that they facilitated. And we have deacons, so deacon is a commitment of 1 year, and elder is a commitment of 2 years. An elder is a governance role, a deacon is not a governance role. An elder is the one who sits on the eldership, and there's a vote with regards to whatever the Lord's doing in the church, and the elder plays a role of a governance in that aspect with the rest of the eldership team. So I'm going to read for us this morning quickly from the book of Ecclesiastes. For everything is in a season, a time of every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones. I'm reading from Ecclesiastes 3, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. A time of war, a time of peace. So the author of Ecclesiastes is writing this, and it's basically when we look at our lives as a person, there are seasons in our lives where we form part of any of these in our lives. So a season is something where we know that the four seasons that we're currently living in, that we have, which is we are currently in spring, and we just came out of winter. So the same in seasons in people's life, where they will serve in certain aspects, where they will be there in certain aspects, where the season allows for the capacity to to serve in certain aspects. And I think with a season where talent, I'm going to call first talent up, and then I'm going to call you up, Shika, just because of the elder thing, and then as a family. So talent, a brother of ours, has served this church since the beginning. We have prayed together from the beginning, and we have really ministered together. And yeah, yes, we sent Siko in, I think it was in June last in 2023, for campus. Yeah, Talon's gonna share a bit about what their plans are. So I'm gonna give over to him quickly to share, and then I'm gonna call the rest of the eldership up, as well as Siko and our wives, Carolyn, Ilana. You can also come with. Yeah, and then we're gonna just really pray for them and really just bless them. So I just want to give them a time just to share with you about their plans. Yeah.
Thank you, Bradley. Thank you, Pastor Bradley and Caroline. Guys, I'm not going anywhere. So yeah, smile. Don't think I'm not. We are not going anywhere. We are here. It's just we will be less frequent. That's probably the more better way of putting it. We're not really going anywhere. We're stepping down from the eldership so we can focus on Tigerberg. As we know, Seeker's been focusing on Tigerberg. There were days where I would do morning service here and then do evening service in Tigerberg. So we just said, okay, we're going to just focus on Tigerberg so that this site is will continue to run. So you still see us. Like I said, I'm not going anywhere. You're still going to see us, but not as frequent as you would like. Okay, that's it.
Thanks. Cool, thank you, Siko, Carolyn, Theo, Ilana, Sam. Yeah, guys, if you have any questions, please ask them. Reach out to myself or Talent or any one of the eldership people. Yeah, and then so today we're just gonna honor them. Siko, Talent, thank you for faithfully serving Shofar Boston for a year and 8 months. Yeah, thank you so much for selflessly giving of yourself, serving in the capacity of preaching and teaching. We know you guys are both incredible teachers and has a passion for the lost and evangelism. So we love you, and we really see the gift of the Lord on your life, and we honor that, and we therefore, we as a church family, we release you for what the Lord is going planned. And in Tigerberg, we're really trusting for massive revival on the campus with you guys. And we're trusting that the God will use you and work through both of you so powerfully. And for you as a family, that this would really be a time where you guys come together as a family. As I was sharing with Talent, I understand, because I have my wife next to me when I serve. And I understand that's your guys' heart, to serve together as a couple. And we see that. We see that you are so powerful. You are a really powerful couple, and we honor you for that. Cool.
Do you want to say something? I'm going to pray. Cool. You will lead us. Thanks, man. Let's all lay. Let's stretch our hands. Let's stand. Yeah. And just, yeah, let's stand together and just stretch out your hands. We just want to honor what the Lord is doing.
Bradley. Yeah. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, and we want to honor your name, O God, for you are great and you are sovereign, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, that, yeah, we just want to stand on your word that says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord that prevail, O God. Thank you, Lord, that throughout the seasons of our lives, O God, the divine detours and divine interruptions, Almighty God, some of them pleasing, some of them uncomfortable, O God, but through it all, your purpose always prevails, because your word says, in all things, you work everything for the good of those who love you, those who have been called and predestined after your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that this morning, oh Father, we are standing to celebrate your purpose that has yet again prevailed, oh God. We thank you this morning, Almighty God, because we are here to celebrate that your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, oh God. We thank you, Father, that we can celebrate your word that says that your word will not proceed out of your mouth without fulfilling that which it was sent for. So we stand here this morning, oh God, beyond talent and sickle, we are celebrating the fact that your word has not returned to you void without accomplishing that which it was sent for. Father, thank you, mighty God, for how talent and sickle have labored, Almighty God, in the Shofar Boston community, in their leadership capacity, oh Father. Thank you for how you have empowered them to disciple us. Thank you for how you have empowered them, Almighty God, to build the church alongside Christ, oh God. And Lord, we honor you for that, for the season that have been part of this amazing congregation that you have birthed, Almighty God, out of nothing. Thank you, mighty God, that we have seen signs, miracles, and wonders, Almighty God, through them. And through us as a body, Lord, we've seen your work, Almighty God. So, Lord, I just want to celebrate, Almighty God, your work, your power, your will, and your purpose, Almighty God, in their lives. God, sometimes as humans, we are limited in our context because we see with just our eyes. But Lord, I pray, mighty God, that you will open the eyes of our hearts, enlighten our understanding, that we will begin to see that while it might seem just as if Seiko and talent, Almighty God, are stepping down from the Shofar Boston community, we will see in that, Lord, that you are calling them to a purpose that is bigger than what we see here. We will see that you are calling them, Almighty God, to a destiny that is far more glorious than anybody has ever seen, Almighty God. And so, Lord, in that, I also want to pray, Father, that whatever anointing they were operating in this congregation, you will double it, oh God. You will give them a double portion of that, oh Father, so that whether in Shofar Boston, Shofar Tegelberg, or your church at large, oh God, that, Lord, people will begin to see Christ in them beyond their humanity. People will begin to see a supernatural move of heaven, Almighty God, through their ministries. That, Lord, they will begin to release revival and freedom to the captives, because that is your word, oh Father. Your word says the Spirit of the Lord has called me, and he has anointed me for such a time as this. And Lord, we pray, Father, that, Lord, this will only be the beginning, Almighty God, of mightier things to come, oh Lord. This might be a divine detour, Almighty God, but it is also a divine comeback, oh God. That, Lord, wherever you are taking them, oh Father God, wherever, whatever step room they step into, you are making an entrance with them to say, these are my children in whom I am well pleased, and they are anointed by my power and my spirit, oh Father. Lord, we honor you, and we thank you that for the gifts that Seiko and talent has been to this congregation, but also to our lives individually. So, Lord, we embrace wherever you are taking them. We embrace what you are doing in them, with them, for them, and through them. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord God, I just want to thank you, Lord God, for just the incredible way that Seiko and Talent have poured themselves into this congregation, Lord God. Even from the start when it was birthed, Lord God, how you really just placed such a dream in their hearts, Lord God. But for them, it didn't stick to a dream, Lord God. They really did put their hands to the plow, Lord God. And we are all the benefactors, Lord God, of them so generously, Lord God, serving, Lord God. But just pouring out their hearts, Lord God, their teaching, but not just the intellectual, Lord God, but really just bringing their hearts and their lives, Lord God, them together as a family, Lord God. And, just really, the gifts that you have given them, Lord God, the anointing that you have given them, Lord God, we've all been benefactors of that, Lord God. And we just want to honor you, Lord God, for your two beautiful children, Lord God, and the entire Mbezi family, Lord God. Thank you that they are such a blessing to us, Lord God. They have been, Lord God, and that we can call them friends, Lord God. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for every word that they've shared, Lord God, every practical teaching, Lord God, every time they greet you with such a friendly smile, even though they've had a tough week, Lord God. Lord, just for who they are, Lord God. And I just, we really just want to send them, Lord God, to the new place, Lord God, to where they can serve, Lord God, in Tigerberg, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that that even in this new season, Lord God, that they will even have rest, Lord God, that you will give them rest, Lord God, and that they will operate, Lord God, from a place, Lord, where you are their provision, Lord God, where you just open the way before them, Lord God. I really pray, Lord God, that you will unite them, Lord God, as a family, Lord God. I pray that there will be a blessing on their time, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that they will be in unity, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you will give them, you know, just so much rest, even though they are also raising two beautiful daughters, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you will just, you know, just a blessing over their capacity, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, especially for talent as the head of the household, Lord God. Lord, that you will just grant him wisdom, Lord God, and grace, Lord God. You know, even just grace within his family, Lord God. And you know, thank you, Lord, that you will also, you know, that you will also grant him rest, Lord God. That you will also just, you know, put your rest on his shoulders, Lord God. And you know, Lord, I know, Lord God, that you will, you know, in this new season, Lord God, just continue to bless them, Lord God, also to be a blessing, Lord God. You know, that from their place of overflowing, Lord God, they will also just be able to, you know, to pour out into your kingdom, Lord God, and, you know, even into their own children, Lord God. You know, we just pray this blessing over them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, you say that two are better than one.
Amen.
And yeah, thank you for them Betsy's who are a three-stranded cord. They're Amen. Woven together. You have made them one, but they're woven with Amen. You and Amen. Within you, and you are woven into them and around them, Lord. We pray your protection over Amen. Them. Yeah, when you sent out the disciples, I'm just reminded you sent them out two by two, Lord. And we just honor Talent and Seiko for this season where they have served in two different places, where they've been 1 foot here, but 1 foot at Tigerberg, and their hearts have been in two places at once, Lord. We honor them, but I pray that you will bless the season where they're coming together again, Lord. I just pray in agreement with what Theo said. Yeah, that you will unite them, Lord. That where there's unity, there's a blessing, Lord. You command a blessing. And thank you that you have brought them together as husband and wife. You have woven them together as one. And that you are using them now together as one force to be reckoned with. But as we said, two is better than one. Multiply the faith that they have, that it won't just be one plus one, Lord, but that exponentially, you bring them together, I see that you are going to use them in a way that's more effective than if you just add the one plus the other, Lord. That you are going to exponentially multiply what they can do with their time, what they do, the impact they make in the spirit, Lord, the impact that they make in people's lives, Father. Thank you that you place them together as a strategic partnership. You know what you were doing, Lord, and we bless them, Father. We bless them. Provide everything that they need, Lord, in terms of emotions, in terms of spiritually, financially, practically, in terms of time, patience, whatever they need, Lord, may you provide that in overflow. May they look to you as their provider, as their strength, as their source, Lord. Thank you that they are strongly rooted in you. Thank you for these friends that are a blessing to us, Lord. May we as a congregation also be led to know how we can continue to bless and to support and to hold up their hands high when they need it, Father.
Yeah, Father, as we just anoint them as a sign, Lord, of your approval on this, God, we send them with love. As they came, Lord, they were received with love, Lord. We send them with love. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, guys. So now I'm going to give over to Talent. Talent's going to bring the word for us this morning. Thank you for being patient with us this morning. Thank you for us allowing us the time. Oh, we forgot to. There's a little small something for you guys.
Thank you. Oh, wow. Thank you for the flowers. We can do it after. And guys, if I go over time, it's not my fault, okay? just a disclaimer. All right. Thank you, Pastor Bradley. Thank you, the eldership. Thank you for everything. I don't know how long I'll preach for. I'm usually a long preacher. I'm short, but I'm very long when I preach. Hopefully we'll be short today. Thank you. Uh, Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the worship, Devnantia, and the team. Yeah, thank you so much that we're able to step in. I pray that Boston keeps that heart of worship, just press in, just the culture to press in worship. I think ultimately when we gather, we say we are going to a worship service, we're going to worship God. That's primarily what we actually come here for, the worship, to worship God. So I pray that culture may continue and may continue to grow, that all of us may participate even more in worship. Amen. I think ultimately at the end of our lives, what's going to matter is not going to be the preaching, but worship God. It's always difficult to preach after a session like this. It's like I'm trying to get my emotions back and to be less emotional and try and recenter and minister. But it's so good. It has been a good 1.5 years to serve. It's 2 years actually. We started planning for this church around this time last year, July, August, 2 years ago, 2022, when we were in Durbanville. And yeah, I remember those days where we would sit and pray in the afternoon, and we'd go to my house, we'd go to his house, we'd go to Daniel's house, we'd strategize, we'd sit down and fill out, and what are the values. We always wanted a word-based church, spirit-led church, community. What was the fourth value? Those were the values that came out clearly from what we said. The church that we're going to plant is clearly going to be word-based, spirit-led, and we are seeing that. We are seeing the baby. We are seeing the baby started from crawling. Now it's running. It's getting on its feet. It's starting to run. And there's going to be more. And before you know it, the baby is a man, and the baby is big and grown. Like Adan, very strong. That's good. There's joy. Freedom. Oh, that's one of the things that I love about Boston, the freedom, the liberty, the joy. I love what you embody. You embody that as well, that joy, that freedom, that liberty. I pray that may not be lost. That is, the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty, freedom, joy, that's a very big part of the journey. Sam was part of that, and a lot of us. Yeah, I'm so glad we are here today. I was going to share a lot, but I don't have a lot of time. But I'd like to appreciate Bradley and Caroline. I remember meeting Bradley at the big house where Siko and the guys used to stay. These guys used to stay in a big house and share community, So I'm like, I see this girl, this beautiful girl that I like, and then I see, I'm like, I like to partner with you. And I didn't realize that she has a much, much bigger family behind her. And so one day I was called to meet this whole bigger family of the big house. And Bradley was one of the people that gave me a hard time there. And he's like, you are you sure you want to take our sister? Like, are you born again? I mean, like, he's trying to really see who is this guy that's just come from outside. And that was good fun. It was good fun. But I tried to keep a holy face so that I appear quite. But then he later saw my true colors. That's so good. And then later, true colors, yeah. that's so good. I remember at the wedding, Bradley and Caroline, there was no one else we could trust with our VIPs. They were able to take care of our pastors, our VIPs, drive them around. So it's been an amazing journey, and church planting together and neighbors across 4th Avenue. We actually call it Faith Avenue. Faith Avenue, yeah. Thank you. I hope you're not recording all this. Hey, I hadn't begun my sermon, but anyway, that's fine. Okay, thanks. I'd like to preach about you can flight the PowerPoint about revival. Some of you remember 3 months ago, I don't know if there's an echo on my voice or it's just me, but that's fine. 3 months ago, I preached from this very text, Psalm 85, verse 6, will you not revive us again that we may rejoice in you? And we focus on that day on the word revive, which is revival. And we shared that revival is not its output. It should not be confused with its manifestations. Revival is the essence of the life of God inside of us. And it is this life of God that produces life and healings and miracles and souls and all sorts of things that people have defined as revival, which is actually not, but more an output. We say the life of God, the life overflowing. Jesus says, you will do greater things than I have done. And we said, if we are not doing what Jesus is doing, then we need revival. And we said, if we are not doing what the first church was doing, then we have gone back. We need revival. Because if you read the book of Acts, and we see those things they look foreign to us, they're not happening in our midst, then there's something, we are not where the first church was, when actually we should be higher than them, because the glory of the latter house will be more than the glory of the former. We are supposed to grow as a church, as a body, but if we regress by any means, then we need revival. If we are not doing what Jesus used to do in the Gospels, then we need revivals. And not only that, the Bible expects us to do more than what he did. So when we're not doing what he does, we need a double revival, because we need to do what he does first, and then we need to do more than what he did. And that's the essence, that's the heart, that's the embodiment. It's the message that my wife and I embody. We might not preach it as revival, we might not, but we feel we are called to the church, we are called to the body, to challenge, to bring forth the life that God intended to bring. But today I just want to zero in on the word rejoice, that we may rejoice in you. So I want us to talk about joy in him. I don't know what joy looks like to you, but as she was ministering, she was talking about the joy of the Lord. I was like, yeah, that's my sermon. And here we are. You see, Christianity is not religion. It's not a religion. It's not a set of rules. When we make it a set of rules, it becomes boring and dead. And it becomes a religion in the essence that a religion is man's attempt to please God. Whereas it's the other way, it's God's life flowing through us. And one of the ways in which life flaws and or there's a manifestation of life is joy. Even the Bible says laughter is the best medicine. Joy is a manifestation of a life. Someone that's alive, there is joy. That's why we celebrate weddings. There's joy. We always celebrate with joy. Next slide. I'm just gonna try and be short. So there's a okay, let's do it. There is a way in which the Bible, when you read the Bible, there are different ways in which, especially the poetic books, Proverbs, Psalms, and even the epistles, the writers like Paul sometimes, they employ artistic language. Sometimes they say something and contrast. Sometimes they say something and similar. So the first one is synonymous parallelism. The ideas presented are similar. For example, make me know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy parts. So you see the first statement, comma, the second statement, there are two statements, but both are similar, both are alike. In other words, both are synonymous. It's emphasizing the same thing. It's like repeating the same thing in a different way. Then there is synthetic parallelism. The second thought completes the first thought. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So in other words, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in need. I shall not want. So the first part completes the second part. Then this antithetic parallelism, the second thought contrasts with the first. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. But there is also a combination of one and three, where there's a parallel and then there's an opposite also at the same time, where one statement draws your attention to something and then the other one kind of, you will see in the next verse, because I just want us to zero in on that verse. Next verse, next slide, thank you. Ephesians chapter 5, it says, do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sorry? Drunk challenge. Oh, yes. Hashtag drunk challenge. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you. Hashtag drunk challenge. You see, there are two statements there. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. In fact, another version is actually one sentence. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember what we said? There are contrasts and the parallels. As you look at that verse that says, do not be drunk with wine. What can you tell about being filled with the Holy Spirit? It won't ruin your life. Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. What else? Drunk with the Spirit. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Thank you, Adan. You see, the idea of being drunk, Paul starts with the idea of being drunk. And then he says, I want you to be drunk, but not with wine, but with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the idea of being drunk is not bad, but it is what intoxicates you that is bad. It's what gets you drunk that actually is important. And in this case, he draws these parallels. He says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. I would like to pose as a drunk challenge question. Hashtag drunk challenge. I would like to ask, how does a drunk person behave like? They are not in control of their bodies. Can we do a drunk challenge? Can we see someone act it out? Who would like to? Let's start with Katie. I know Katie can do this drunk. How does a drunk man, how do they behave? let's do the drunk challenge. All of us. Yes. The drunk challenge. Mr. T, please come walk like a drunk man. Let's see how a drunk man walks. Come walk like a drunk man. Let's see what a drunk man walks like. Yes. let's see. Good one. Hey, they pretend. In fact, they are not sober pretending to be drunk. They are drunk but pretending to be sober. They try to look normal, but they just can't help it. Because something, there is a substance, they are under an influence, and that influence is influencing them. They lose their what? Yes. Oh, wow, guys, can we act that out? I want to see how it looks like. Can we act that out? I want to see how it looks like. Yes, let's go. Guys, I'm serious. Richard, let's see. Come, Richard. What does a drunk person act like? Richard. You see, because he's in control, he can't. He doesn't want. So you lose control. But all these descriptions, all these ways I'm asking, if I were to turn around and say that is what his church is expected to you, you would think that I'm a heretic. If all the things we have said, church has become the opposite of all the things we have said, actually. Do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The thread of Christianity and being drunk on the same sentence. The thought of losing control, of losing your inhibitions, yes. The thought of trying to be sober but can't help it. This is what the essence of it. But we then learn, because that is too uncomfortable, we then try to learn how to be sober. Culture, Christian culture, the real thing, that is the real thing. That is the real faith, the real Christianity. When you are filled with the Spirit, but actually we have come to actually associate it with the opposite, with the Acts chapter 2. the first church, basically it was the launch of the first church, the very launch of the church, the launch day of the church was Acts 2. It says, thank you. The Bible says 120 at the upper room. Whilst the religious people were having a festival called Pentecost down the road, these guys had to be, you know, countercultural, and say, we are not going there. It's Easter. It's this. That's part of the calendar, of the church calendar, but we're not going to do this. We are going to come and spend time with God and wait on God. We want the real thing. We don't want an imitation of it. We want the real thing. So there are two types. There are people here. It's a religious festival of Pentecost. There are two groups of people. One people is celebrating that religious festival. The Christians. The sober Christians. Another group here is, they're saying, they heard 10 days ago, a few days ago, that you should wait and tarry. And they were not given a timeline. We only know in retrospect that it was 10 days. But when someone says wait, and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Day one, you come here, you wait. It doesn't happen. Tomorrow, you come here, you wait on the Lord. You are hoping perhaps he's going to fill me. It doesn't happen. After 3 days, most of our Christians of us today won't come back. We'll be done. We'll be like, it didn't happen. You said you should wait. We came and waited. Second day, third day. I mean, how long? They waited. Third day, they came to the prayer to the upper room. They waited. They prayed. The Lord promised. So part of the reason why we are not drunk in the Spirit is we give up in the waiting game. We give up in the being filled with the Spirit. We don't wait to be filled with the Spirit. We are quick to get out whilst we are sober. When we are supposed to be wait and be drunk with the Spirit. They waited. 10th day of the day of Pentecost. And they didn't give up. As they were waiting, the Holy Spirit came as tongues of fire. The Bible says they began to speak in other tongues as they begin to praise the Lord. And I want you to pause there, because sometimes we think that and people were attracted. People were in the festival. The religious people were attracted to these 120 people, the few. Because they saw something, because all these days, the 10 days these guys were gathering, they didn't draw attention to anyone. Nobody came to say, what is happening there? But on this particular day when something phenomenal happened, then it attracted the attention of people because they began to behave in a certain way. You see, it's not just speaking in different languages. Go to the Cape Town CBD. There are people that speak all sorts of different languages. We are not sitting there and getting amazed like what's happening. Understand this. Speaking in other languages is part of it, but it's not the primary issue that made them people attracted and people surprised. It was the way they behaved. Whilst they were speaking in tongues, it was the way that shook the world, like, this guy, something is wrong. And someone says, but others ridicule them, in the crowd ridicule them, saying they are just drunk, that's all. You see, I don't know what it is that the first church, I don't know what kind of service the first church was like that made people think that they were drunk. Today, if sinners were to pass by and see us worshiping, will they think that we are drunk? In fact, will they even stop to check out these guys that look weird? Most of people will just pass by, like, oh, these religious people are. But these guys were different. See, yes, they were speaking in other tongues and speaking, but it's not like they were speaking in inaudible, in things that did not make sense. They were actually speaking in languages that the people could understand. So they were actually praising God in French, in Lingala, in whatever language that people could understand. But it there is something that attracted these onlookers. There's something with these people. It's in the way they were walking. It's in the way they were praying. Because they were drunk in the Spirit. It's in the way they walked. It's in the way they carried themselves. They didn't have that sense of control. They didn't have that sense of soberness. Because there was something that's much more controlling. They could not speak. They could not control what they want to do, because in as much as... Can you see the parallels? Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Peter stepped forward and with the 11 apostles and shouted, listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk as some of you are assuming. See, someone says, these people are not drunk as you suppose. They are drunk, but they are not drunk the way you think. Okay, let's leave that one. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Again, that's poetic language. That's poetic language. It doesn't necessarily mean that old young people don't see visions. All the people do all those things. It's just poetic language. Young people will both prophesy and see visions and dream dreams. It's just that the writer is choosing to be creative with the language. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. We will all prophesy. Your young men will see visions. We'll all see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. We'll all dream dreams. In those days, I'll pour out my spirit even on my servants. Men and women alike, they will prophesy. I want us to pause there for a moment. What does being drunk in the Spirit? What does joy? There's a verse that says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's when you are full to overflowing. I would like us to watch a video. She's going to play us a video. Let's see what it's an old video from the 90s or 80s. All right, let's move. In closing, this is. Let me draw another parallel. When I was dating Siko, I would bring my best self. I would dress well, if you're going for coffee, I'll bring my best self to the table. And she wouldn't dare see the crazy me or the other side of me. But it would be weird when we get married that I always keep this facade of my best me. I'm married to Siko, and yet I want to keep this facade. I don't let her see all of me in my emotions and my... Wouldn't that be weird? And yet that's what we do with God. When we are as free as ever when we are with friends out there, but when we with God, when actually we should be as freest as we should be, with all our emotions and all our true selves, should actually be in the house of the Lord, with joy, with all the spectrum of emotions, all your spectrum of emotions from the worst to the best. They should be actually manifest when you are in the house of the Lord. Because it would be pretense if I continue to relate with Siko like that, like we are dating, like I'm staying at my house, like I only bring my best self. It would be pretense. An intimate relationship has the whole spectrum of your life exposed. And we have made, yes, there is part to be sober, to be well-behaved. But actually, if you were to transfer your church self to how you behave in the community, you will live a righteous life. And then when you are with God, bring your worst self. And we usually have it in reverse. We usually have our worst self when you're out there, and then in church we... Whereas God says, come as you are. God is the joy of the Lord. The house of the Lord is the place of joy. It's a place of love. It's a place of freedom. It's a place to be ourselves, the whole spectrum. It's a place just to be. If it means I cry and roll on the floor, that's me. It's my house, my father's house. If you find me crying at my house, don't think anything is weird. It's my home. And I'm with my wife, so there's no one. She's not going to like think... It's only going to be weird when there are other people around. But when it's us, I will be myself. And that's how church is supposed to be. Actually, it's upside down. It's upside down. We have tended to say, no, that is unholy, that is not. When actually God says, come, because you are with my Father, it's family time. We want... Family time is as much as you are as possible. It's out there in the world where you shouldn't be, where you shouldn't, you know, behave drunk, so to say. But in the house of the Lord, we should be drunk in the Holy Ghost. We should bring our emotions. We should cry. We should shout. We should. The whole spectrum of our being should be manifest in the house of the Lord, in church. Otherwise, we are taking back control. Do not be drunk. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom. That's the summary. That's church. That's the kingdom of God. It's not eating and drinking. It's not those other things, but it's the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In fact, part of the reason why some of us are not free is because we don't have peace, the peace of God. Or we feel that if I do this, we don't know if we have the true righteousness of God, because you think if you behave in a certain way, then you are not righteous. because you think brother and sister will think. But you're not here for that. You're here for God. And your righteousness is not a matter of your outward behavior. In that sense, it is faith, it is the life of God in you that will bring forth the outward behavior and change. But it's not outside in, it's inside out. It righteousness comes from the inside going outside. We the world has it upside down that it tries to force you to behave in a certain way. That's an outside in. Righteousness starts from the deep, deep joy and gratitude that comes from the blood of Jesus, being forgiven your sins, knowing that you are a son of God, you are a child of God, you have a place, you have an identity in Christ. You hear the voice of God. That is where righteousness comes. The outward behavior is not necessarily the true righteousness. And when we are so conscious of ourselves, what do people think, then we are outward behavior conscious. And you are using the righteousness of the world. And that righteousness of the world is the reason why you don't have peace. Actually, when you don't have righteousness, you won't feel the peace. You won't have peace. If you don't feel you are actually righteous, you are accepted in Christ, you won't have peace in your soul. You won't feel the liberty that those guys were having because you are bound. Peace comes from the righteousness which comes through faith in Christ Jesus. And knowing that I know that I'm forgiven, that I'm righteous, that I'm a child of God. That I don't have to do anything to impress, or that I don't have to do anything for me to be seen as righteous or as unrighteous. When I'm in the house of God, I'm in my Father's house. Righteousness, peace. I think this is actually a process. If you don't have righteousness, you don't have peace. If you get righteousness, you will get. Righteousness, you leads to peace. Peace leads to joy. The peace of God leads to joy. You don't care what people think, and therefore you've got this peace of God. Peace is not the absence of war, as we think war and conflict and then peace. You can have peace when the world around you is crumbling. Peace is an inner posture. It's something that's inside of you. You can be going through the worst in life, but you've got this peace of God because you know God is with you. He says, "Lord, I'm with you." The joy. In fact, I've seen people. In fact, real joy in the Holy Ghost is best manifested when things are not going well, yet you are alive and rejoicing. You are not murmuring. You are not mumbling. You're not down. When everything else around you is crumbling, there is joy that's deep seated inside of you. Then you know that it's the joy that comes from righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's the real joy of the kingdom of God. It's not an outward joy of the world that comes with wine. It's the joy that comes with the Holy Spirit. And spending time with God, like she mentioned in the morning, like you should do this not just on weekends, but during the week. It is the same command. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. We spend time so that wherever we step out of our house, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. I've got righteousness. I've got peace. I've got joy in the Holy Ghost. I don't care what who thinks what because I am my Father's child. Is it making sense? Is someone getting something? We have turned things upside down and topsy-turvy when the Bible actually says the kingdom of God is not all these other practical things, all these other things that you guys worry about, what church is. No. It's righteousness, joy, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it comes with spending time with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, wait on the promise, and you shall be filled. And it comes when we come to church to say, God, yes, there is preaching, there is this, but can our number one priority be to the filled, to be filled, to be filled, to be filled, to be filled with the Holy Ghost? And when it comes, everyone comes with that attitude, your attention, or your priority, your focus is God, whatever you are doing, fill me with the Holy Spirit. When I step out of here, I want to step out drunk in the Holy Ghost. When you come to church with that attitude, it's a whole different game. a whole different game. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It the Holy Spirit is always willing to fill us. Always willing. The same way that that wine is available if you want to. Yeah, you can always go get. It's the same way. In fact, yeah. For free. come buy unto me. Jesus says, come buy to me for free. That which costs you nothing. He gives the wine of life. You see, if we don't drink and then we try to stay away from the world stuff, we will be miserable. Yeah. If you don't drink of the Holy Ghost and then try to stay away, try to be Christian in your own strength, try not to do what the world does. When you are not putting yourself in the empowerment that the Christian does, then you're going to be a miserable person. Then you're gonna need the physical wine. You're gonna need that to be joy. You're gonna need what the world does to keep them alive and happy. But our happiness, our joy, starts with righteousness and that peace and joy, and that all comes in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an option. Actually, that's part of the problem. We have made the Holy Spirit an option in the church. It's like tracking a drug addict and say, stop doing drugs. That's not the best way to rehabilitate a drug addict. You must bring another drug that will replace that drug that they were taking. And the Holy Ghost is the best drug. The Holy Ghost is the best drug. He brings joy. He brings, and without all those effects of drugs, he brings joy, he brings life, he brings prosperity. And he's a person. I pray this morning that our attitude towards the Holy Spirit may be transformed, may change. Not just at home, but at church, when we walk in, we become more aware of the fact that we have come here to meet with the Holy Spirit. We come hungry to be filled with us, because Jesus says, you will not turn away anyone that's hungry. He says, come unto me. If you are hungry for righteousness, thirsty and hungry, you will be filled. So if we come with an attitude that is, we are hungry, we want this. Part of the issue is, do you really want this? Because if you come hungry, you're like, I want this. I want to meet with God. I want an encounter with God. I don't just want to come so that I can meet Sam and meet that and talk to. I've come to meet with God. I want to meet with the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled. I want to come out overflowing with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want to come out singing in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just want us to open our hands. Just open your hands. Just like this. Just talk to Him. Just talk to the Holy Spirit. Just say, the way you feel you have been challenged in your heart, just talk to Him. He's like a person right there. Just imagine He's sitting in front of you. Just talk to Him about your attitude, about what you look forward going forward. He's a friend. He's a very nice friend, and He will listen. Just tell Him, you know what? I've been ignoring you. You know what? I haven't been paying attention, but I really love you. I really like you. I really wanna be filled with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I have someone playing at the back, just worship. Thank you, Jesus. Just talk to Him. Talk to Him. He is your friend. He's been sent by God to be your friend, to bring peace and joy. And, you know, sometimes we've been told lies about the Holy Spirit, and that people who do these Holy Spirit things are crazy or this, but he's not gonna make you crazy. He's gonna make you alive. Amen. He's gonna make you alive. We debunk, we cancel the lies of the enemy that says if you go after the Holy Spirit, then you're not going to be a proper Christian. There's nothing else that makes you a proper Christian than the Holy Spirit. There's nothing more. It's Him. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just talk to Him. Fill us, Lord. We are hungry. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. 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 We love you. 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 Keep playing. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. You can use it.